Yay, it is me. It is Caroline getting in. So, yo team, before we formally convene our Council of Goats and Agents of Trickster Redeemer, anybody want to chime in, say hi, put something on the work table, announce themselves, or creatively lurking is fine. Hello to all quiet lurkers. Hello? Hello?
This is Mary Fulwood in Los Osos.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Hello.
And you saw the praying mantis?
I did. Yeah.
Augury. Yes.
Stillness sounds fabulous.
I'm sorry, say what?
Stillness sounds fabulous.
Stillness.
Or the stillness of a praying mantis. I've had a really fluffy full day.
Okay, wonderful. Yes, the praying mantis. The praying mantis joining our council. It's the only creature I ever saw defeat Stella Coyote. and so we want to invite praying mantis medicine to our council, because Stella Coyote, my friend the coyote, you know, she can wrangle anything, but the praying mantis just did that praying mantis kung fu form, you know, just turned around going, and Stella Coyote actually, after a half hour, bowed in respect and went away and left it alone. So we just bring this into our play, you know, the Aikido thing, you know, do not be daunted by your enemy. Look at his eyes. He will mesmerize you, or his weapon, he will terrify you. Create your own magnetic circle, and then you can do anything you like. And praying mantis, I saw praying mantis completely create its field through which even a 500 times larger coyote could not penetrate, because we're going to talk more about boundaries and safety and playfulness. That's great. Anybody else want to chime in and say hello? Hello?
It's Chris in San Francisco.
Wonderful. Excellent. Yes. No toxic explosions this week, apparently. No.
Oh, okay. I guess I missed the first couple of minutes of the call. If we are inventorying toxic explosion, I had a day last week where by the end of the day, I felt as if I had spent my day in a nuclear reactor that was in full meltdown mode.
Because things got your goat, or what?
No, just major transition at work, just like a complete meltdown. Like everybody around me was running around with their hair on fire.
Okay, let's honor this, because I've been querying the I Ching and the sky story is, you know, what can our team, our humble, great, expanding gathering, and we have renewing people today, tonight, and guests also, welcome to. so we're going to, what can we uniquely do together? So that's a very good thing to bring up. All these things are part of a pattern. We can see everything being crazy. Anybody else? Yes, so that's a worthy thing to bring up. Anybody else want to bring things up before I kind of go into Q&A mode and our sound quality will improve? Okay. And remember, there we go. Ah, there's a relief. Okay, so we are now in Q&A mode, which means anybody at any time, guests, renewing people, long-timers, old-timers, dogs, goats, anybody, you know, you can always chime in, which is quite welcome, by hitting *7, which will unmute you, and then you can go la 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 la, and then when you want to recede back into quiet privacy, you can hit *6, and I'll aspire to remind us. Also, you can email me, you know, during this thing at any point just by hitting reply to your missive, and there we go. Okay, so there is a lot on our work table, there we have it. Yes, but things are as Chris brought up, you know, there is the reason we want to gather, the reason we want to create, you know, coyote trickster weaving combo spider weaving of you know, a venue into which we can work and metabolize the crazy, wild restructuring that's going on in all of our lives and also in the world in a artful way, to be agents of principles rather than subject to laws. So, yes, there's a lot brewing. Okay, so we gather our goats, our literalized metaphor, our Saturn, our autonomy, our goats by our side as we convene in telepathic circle-ish. We go, excellent. So, yeah, the spider medicine, yes, and our agent ally, Marianne, wrote in with some beautiful spider webs. We will aspire to post those on Trickster Facebook page, and saying, I can hardly understand the workings of your mind or my own at this time. Well, yes, okay, it's an interesting time. We welcome spider. And so spider, you know, spider medicine, it was curious because having gone, oh, I think we want to honor the spider, the weaving of the web, and the whole realm we've, many of us have heard about biomimicry, our wonderful ally Janine Benya saying, rather than looting nature, why don't we borrow nature's ingenious recipes? Crucial. So just just adding the mytho-mimicry, Janine always lets me take scientific fact and kind of extrapolate into the mythic realm from that. But right now, things are so strong that everything gets kind of literalized. So, yes, I was pondering the miracle of spiders and what ingenious weavers they are. And I woke up this morning with a giant spider bite right on my sacrum, which, again, made me laugh, actually going, whoa, whew, it's very literal. You write about something and it bites you on the butt. And it doesn't hurt, but it is big, you know. And it's in keeping with, you know, last week, where we were talking about the healing power of poison and snakes, and we hope our doggy patient ally is doing well in Texas. Our ally who got, our little doggy ally member of our team that got bitten by rattlesnake, again, apparently doing pretty good, that's good. So, yeah, the realm of poison. So before we convened just now, I was consulting the I Ching, my current favorite again, Stephen Karcher's Total I Ching, going, all right, what can we uniquely do together? You know, each one on this call or this web, deputy agents of the trickster redeemer, that we cultivate our uniqueness, that we dree our weird, again, play our role in destiny, because we are heading into many forms of theater, the lovely, powerful new moon in Leo, theater unfurling behind us. That was a new moon on Friday just now. We know create theater or live melodrama. We want to weave the web. And I did just have a conference call with Pacifica Radio Beings. And so I will be part of the commentary on the conventions. They'll have a panel commenting. I will be an uncommentator. You know, and that will be through the Republican and Democratic conventions. So there we go. And we'll see how much room. It's always this interesting theme of room. You know, to dree our weird, we can do. But what I mentioned on the call, and what I've mentioned to, you know, all of you guys and Gaias, is a number of you know, events that I've been a part of, and maybe we all find this too. Going good. But wasted opportunity, could have been more better. And we say, well, everything right now is kind of in dress rehearsal, and everything that's kind of kerfuffly is for us to go deeper dedication, okay, but not quite right, okay, deeper dedication, experiment, you know, edit, throw some things into the cauldron, you know, and here we go. So in that sense, you know, what I sort of mentioned, and again, excuse me, what I'd mentioned to the radio team is, you know, it is a great opportunity to be able to mahoot, gently craft and guide, you know, collective, you know, attention so that we have you know, elevated discourse in the public radio waves and all of that, and that's where we're going to come back to Saturn and Mars now, which is manners and the fuel on which we run, okay, much to play with and say on that. But the I Ching, it gave us a lot to work with, because it doesn't always happen this way. You know, sometimes when I throw the I Ching, I'm like, come on, give us some changing lines. But I just threw it for us for fun without any kind of incentive, but almost every line was changing. So what can we uniquely do together as deputy agents of the Trickster Redeemer? And the I Ching responds, number 3, sprouting, the world tree, begin, established, found. Gather your strength to surmount difficulties. Now, part of the idea of a culture of reciprocal blessing, of which we want to be little diaspora agents, you know, is to create this vessel, to weave this web, whereby it really can be, you know, without presumption, without expectation, but a cauldron of well-wishing. You know, as we wish and continue to wish to our dog teammate, you know, sister girl out there going, whoa, and as we periodically do when part of our team has specific crises and either mentioned or not mentioned to kind of telepathically or literally bring things forth for our team that we may wish each other well, that we can help each other, you know, gather strength to surmount difficulties. So it says sprouting is the beginning of new being. Now, we remember in the classic I Ching, number 3 is, you know, difficulty at the beginning kind of thing. And we go, well, yes, that would be true. So sprouting is the beginning of new being, the renewal of time. It is the dusk before dawn, and the dusky light is full of the burgeoning grasses. Sprouting suggests the world tree. It is the mulberry or the sun tree from which the suns rise each day after being bathed by their mother, and its shadow, the moon tree. Sprouting, massing, source of success. All trials are advantageous. Okay, we're going to play with this. You know, every kind of or every kind of ooh, you know, back to the drawing board, advantageous. And, you know, what I've been saying, well, to myself, but to people for whom I've been doing, you know, personal readings, and then to the collective, Saturn and Mars, representing these principles within and without us, they are conjoined now, much to say. But so, in a sense, Saturn is late degrees of Libra, and we're getting ready for its change of nuance, flavor realm, as it in the fall will enter Scorpio, but now it's in Libra. But it is, in a sense, kind of ahead of Jupiter. So one of the themes that's very strong, you know, is in fairy tales, the wise and unwise use of magical wishes is a big, important theme. We actually want kerfuffles first, before we get the full Jupiter model of anything you want. You know, sometimes people get Jupiter transits first, you know, anything you want, and they make, you know, foolish wishes and then go, ah, phooey. So Saturn, you know, is the dedication, the challenging kerfuffle. It's also the kind of weaving of the web to go, what is our intention? Whatever web we weave, whatever our desire burns a kind of hole in the log to create a bowl, Jupiter will fill it. You know, we're weaving the template. And as we, you know, cross into this crazy election fervor, you know, where so much of the Dementor realm out there in personal and public conversation is speaking to people's amygdala, their fear brain, you know, and the polarizing brain, then we, as agents, want to invite and speak to the, you know, better part of humans. But we're all, you know, anything that could get our goats, you know, in a customized way, you know, we'll be have doing that. So, you know, crafting. So all difficulties advantageous at this time. So the I Ching continues. It says sprouting and massing, source of success. Yes, all trials advantageous. Make an offering and you will succeed. advantageous to install helpers. Yes, it's good to have a team. Sprouting and massing describes our situation in terms of beginning growth. The way to deal with it is to assemble things and accumulate energy for a difficult yet exciting task. We go, ooh, that's true. Because as we play with what do we get to experiment with, you know, what is our unique backstage realm, to begin to set things in motion, again, without presumption, without assuming status, you know, just in this experimental realm to kind of lob into collective group mind larger intelligences, well-wishing, may it go this way, may surprising disruption, may we invite the sane, reverent, spiritual common sense of all beings forth to the table. We go, yes, okay, so I love this. Accumulate energy for a difficult yet exciting task. This is a stirring time. There's heavy work to be done. Things are full to overflowing. The atmosphere is the dusky light before daybreak. Things are coming at you from all sides. Don't try to soothe and pacify them. I want us all to take notes and play with these things here. Don't try to soothe and pacify them. Install helpers and give everything a place. This chaotic profusion is in accord with the time. It is the beginning of a new world. And then in Stephen Karcher's, the shaman chimes in and says, clouds and thunder sprouting and massing. Yes, just also as a footnote, you know, as we play with language, you know, talking to great ally Bob Goff, and I said, well, you know, what do you do when you run into people who say, oh, you don't believe in that, you know, climate change hoax? And he says, well, I just use the word words extreme weather. Have you noticed any extreme weather? Because you're not really going to get any objection on that one. So already here in the East Coast, it's cold at night in August in Washington, D.C. It's like, this is crazy. So who knows what's coming. The chaotic profusion is in accord with, you know, there are lots of things are brewing. The shaman speaks. The spirit that manifests in shake and thunder rewards those toiling in the pit. All those toiling in the pit, raise your hand. The rouser works in the ghost river. Rushing water above dissolves direction and shape while thunder rouses new potential. Right. And then, you know, almost everything was changing. And it says, your purpose is moving, nine in the first, your purpose is moving correctly, gathering support and team. This is the standing stone in front of an ancestral temple sprouted from the earth. Stop. Establish your foundations. Connect this experience to your own deep roots. Involve others. Don't be secretive about your plans. You are on the right track. Find a new group. Okay, we're new all the time. Strip away old ideas. Provide what is needed. Six and a second, sprouting then quitting, bunching and turning, riding the horses in full array. Those you confront are not outlaws. The hardship of riding a strong line, this will reverse the rules. You reach out to people and then turn away from them. You are all prepared for an emotional encounter. And then you see your partner as an outlaw. Drop the hostility. Okay, I want to underline that thing. Drop the hostility. Seek a permanent connection. It will be a while before this connection bears fruit, but in the end, it will come all right. So just, you know, as we go, as we travel along here together, we say, has anybody felt hostility either coming towards them or from them, you know, in this recent field? And we go, yes. And I do find that, well, let's think of kerfuffles as our allies. You know, every now and then when I could feel myself not losing sense of humor, goat getting got, you know, into some, you know, annoyed place, very often on Facebook where one can easily spend too much time and you can see the weather shift, you know, when everybody starts to go snarky. We have lots to say about snark. And I could feel myself sort of like a tar baby, you know, just kind of, and it's like, no. And very often what happened is, you know, the whatever, the mouse would whatever, and the thing would go away, and it's like, oh, I wanted to say that, oh, just as well. Just as well, let it be, just let it go. So drop hostility. That's good. Six and the fourth, sprouting, riding the horses in full array, wise words, going on opens the way. Nothing is not advantageous. All right, going and seeking, this is brightening. The time is right. The difficulties are almost over. Those, again, it repeats from a whole different line. Those you confront are not outlaws. Make the connection. This will be of great benefit to everyone concerned. Follow this flow of events. Proceed step by step. Gather energy for a decisive new move. All right, we will. We will. And then we have two more changing lines, nine and the fifth. Sprouting its juice. This is spreading out, but not quite yet shining. The flowing sap or juice of World Tree brings things to life, spreads wealth. You have found this source of vital growth, but be careful. Make no great moves. Adapt to what happens. Make sure everything gets what it needs. Don't impose your will on things. Something very important is returning. Be open to it. Provide what is needed. And then six above, just, you know, who knows, you know, sometimes the I Ching, you know, these are lots of contradictory things, but we're going to brew them all together here. The last changing line, you know, sprouting, riding the horses in full away. It says, disastrous way to proceed. Fixations might do you real harm. Free yourself from the situation before it gets worse. So, you know, these are contradictory things. A better time is coming. Strip away your old ideas. Be open to new ones. Okay, we're going to come back, and I'll brew it with the sky story. But then it changes to the very last hexagram, hexagram 64, not yet crossing. On the edge of change, gather your energy, everything possible. Wait for the right moment. Prima materia, the burning water. The great enterprise can never truly be exhausted. In truth, each end is a new beginning. Accept this and use the energy of not yet crossing. This is part of a pair that forms the gates of change. Crossing, which literally means to cross a river in a boat or at a ford, suggests souls and spirits entering the great stream, a metaphor for experiencing the voyage of life. And remember, as we shapeshift our metaphoric agility, we have often in the past, and now apparently we want to see our goat in a boat, our boat goat, our amphibian goat. The original image for goat and Capricorn and Saturn was, you know, it had fish things, so amphibious is good. The small fox, a crafty, shape-changing animal, at home in the dream world, as well as a symbol of a potential suitor, is common to this theme, as we are, this is, I think, I Ching election commentary. It says, there are campaigns that are heading into the demon country. And we go, I think that's right. We want to apply our mythological playfulness to actual things out there in the compelling illusion of reality world, known also as campaign and election and world news and all of those things. And again, conversations that we can see bubbling up, you know, that despite our apparent, you know, difference or isolation, there are conversations happening, you know, that many people are having that may not know that they're happening everywhere. The conversation of where there's too much Mars, rah, 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 let there be Venus, art, beauty, culture, very strong, talking to friends who've been living in Syria, talking to, again, going, oh, the handmade, the beautiful realm, where have things spiraled into or exploded, really, more Plutoed into violence, that we want to do whatever we can to pour cool water on. This is the last I Ching hexagram. It says it's all made up of fire and water. And the metaphors of cooking, transforming, being in a continual creative relationship to the process of change. Wonderful. Not yet crossing, make an offering and you will succeed, the small fox on the muddy bank. If she soaks her tail, there is no advantageous direction. Be sure your plans are in order and that you have accumulated enough energy to make the crossing without getting stuck. This is pleasing to the spirits. Through it, they will give you success, effective power, and the capacity to bring the situation to maturity. Don't be like the small fox that gets almost across the river and then, you know, carelessly gets her tail in the wood. Apparently that would be very dire, especially in the north. It's again, you know, time for bold caution, I think is part of what it would say. So we go, thank you, I Ching. We put you over to one side, but it's a great honor always when you get the very last hexagram. I go, all right. So as we honor, you know, let me introduce the planetary themes, the energies with which we are playing, and why we want to, again, literalize metaphor and, you know, weave this web of standards. And as I said, you know, in, yes, it was a little bit of a late night missive, but the that we want, you know, I want to introduce Miss Manners, the animistic division, which would be very Mars Saturn. You know, it's like laying down our standards, weaving our web, creating our template, really good right now, because it's going to be getting busier. You know, and as, you know, Chris alluded to, you know, she said, you know, this toxic explosion or metaphoric nuclear meltdown, mega transition at work, she said, well, this is only going to be getting more, but it is very strong right now. As we mentioned, what's called is a grand square. Now, the usual suspects, you know, it's pretty tight right now. Pluto, 7 degrees of Capricorn, pretty much straight up right now on the East Coast, and, you know, way out there. You know, Capricorn wanting to burn away anything between, you know, us and us in some sense. We remember Daniel Gemario bringing up that one of the earliest images for Capricorn was the Council of Grandmothers or the Council of Wise Women or the Council of whatever, but definitely the dedication to the next seven generations as a kind of metaphoric meme, and that's what it wants to be. So Pluto is interested in, you know, yes, it's the collapse of systems and the volatility and the repression, the volatile eruption of anything that has been repressed in explosive relationship to the force of its exclusion. So we go, we don't want to deal with that, or this is bad, or let's lock this away, or pretend we don't have garbage. You know, it's like, it's coming back, you know. But what it wants, and I think as strategists we want to go, what does any circumstance want, or any rude person, or any, what does it really want? You know, it's the alchemy of desire. What did it want before it got all tormented and crazy and distorted? You know, and it's useful to ask that of spiders and hurricanes. You know, what does it want, and viruses and bacteria, what does it really want, and how can we broker a deal in some way? So Pluto and Capricorn, ongoing, certainly, you know, in this powerful pattern, off and on, in varying degrees and pulses, you know, well into 2015, as a description of the evolutionary necessity of now in the big picture and how we get to see it teased into the micro circumstance of our lives. So Pluto, yes, what do we want to toss into the cauldron? Anything between us and us. Now, the model of astrology or any of the divinatory arts, really, remember, part of our criterion as agents of Trickster Redeemer that we're putting on the table as the wild prognostications and predictions and many things and of all kinds of, you know, usefulness and craziness flood the field. Let's just put our first Pluto-Uranus criterion, Uranus, ingenuity, equality, democracy, synchronicity. And it reminds us that when we treat each other as equals in some sense, in a hi, how you doing backstage way, the rate of synchronicity increases dramatically. But we say any divinatory system, any language, any spiritual practice, you know, any prophecy, any prediction is skookum, is fine to the degree that it guides each person to their own autonomy. We're not really going for a priesthood. You know, and You know, and one of the things, you know, as we weave kind of the news and, I mean, everything kind of pertinent and part of this larger conversation together, I was reading, Yekaterina Samutsevich's closing statement at her sentencing at the Pussy Riot trial. I will try not to say Pussy Riot too much because apparently, according to one of my trusted guys on the radio 2 weeks ago, I said it far too much. Pussy Riot. Okay. But it is crucial to all of us. Everything in the personal, collective news, whatever, it's all mythic news too. So during the closing statement, the defendant is expected to repent or express regret. She begins. In my case, she says, as in the case of my colleagues, this is completely unnecessary. Instead, I want to express my views about the causes of what has happened to us. The crucial small bit, just for our purposes, although the whole thing is really good, she says, why did Putin, who is a Libra born my year, within a couple weeks, what is he doing with our shared chart? Okay, why did Putin feel the need to exploit the Orthodox religion and its aesthetics? Now, what they were disrupting in perfectly befoibled form was something that the world really didn't know about except through this trial, which we now know more about, the world outside of Russia, which is that Russia is again becoming a theocracy. From communism back into an embrace of the church, and it's, you know, and that brewing of state power and church is like, ooh, that just never goes well. And anything that's anywhere is everywhere. So we want these crucial messages kind of coming in. So why did Putin feel the need to exploit the Orthodox religion and its aesthetics? After all, he could have employed his own far more secular tools of power. National corporations, menacing police system, all of that. She goes on. Apparently, it was then that he felt the need for more convincing, transcendental guarantees of his long tenure at the helm. It was here that the need arose to make use of the aesthetics of Orthodox religion, historically associated with the heyday of Imperial Russia, where power came not from earthly manifestations such as democratic elections and civil society, but from God himself. Anyway, she continues in a very, very lucid, really interesting thing, those young women who were just sentenced to 2 years in prison. But it's very smart. It's on Facebook. You can find it, and anybody who needs it, I can send you the link. The reason I want to put that on our table, okay, we're putting certain standards in place so that we are, each one of us, not only not bamboozled, not snookered, and so on, but we are agents of other people not being snookered or bamboozled by any kidnapping of spiritual, divine, mythological trappings in service to state or tyranny or herumphitude or, you know, whatever it is. So we put that to one side. Okay, we go. Thank you very much, Yekaterina, and good luck on everything. And we will be following all of that. So the dynamic when we say, you know, when Chris says, you know, nuclear, you know, everything boiling. Well, everything is kind of boiling. And part of now, you know, is we have Pluto, death, rebirth, burn away everything between us and our sane dedication to the well-being of the next seven generations. Square Uranus. You know, awakening, experiment, all kinds of stuff going on. And tonight, the Moon and Venus have moved into squares with this huge pattern, so that there is what's called a grand cardinal square or a grand cross. So it's strong. Now, Venus in the sky, you know, we know as our cumulative journey, she was the evening star, then she dove into the, then she went out of bounds in her astronomical cycle, then she dove for her conjunction with the sun, transit of Venus June 5th, then she reemerged as the morning star, where she still is for the next 6 months. Venus with her voice, the trickster Hayoko Venus, all of us with power of voice, excellent. She is that sets the template for the whole next cycle. She's now at 12 degrees Cancer, just tonight for the fun of it. So we're kind of backstage from these crazy conventions. But Venus is at the degree of the U.S. Sun. Venus is where the Sun was when this country was, you know, its current experimental form, you know, was declared on July 4th, 12 degrees Cancer. So there's an intimacy now. So I'd like to just kind of also open to our experimental team that, you know, blessings for this country. Now, I know not everybody on this call is from America, and we don't want to be jingoistic and narrow and self-centered, but it is part of the dynamic of, in this large pulsing dream, you know, what goes on in this country, you know, affects a lot. And so well-wishing, gathering, unifying story, and let me depart or move over here to Miss Spider-Manners, story weaver, the Miss Manners animistic division, meaning not human manners, but how do we behave in a way that would be, you know, understood as respectful by spiders and wolves and all the rest of our community. So so keep to one side, because I want to open up, it up at the end, and I do want to leave room should people want to chime in or telepath or email. But a particular well-wishing for the collective in this country and the world. Just because Venus grants us intimacy, you know, now, and I invite us all to begin to experiment with lobbing things into group mind and putting things on our work table that we would like to spiral forth. Remember, you know, many words, many languages, remember the power of language and how it is magic, and so many cultures have a word like the Yoruba word, ashe, which, you know, like amen, really, but ashe, you know, means may it incarnate, may these words attract molecules of manifestation, you know, and remember, Venus is representing a part of us and a part of the collective that need not source things, but to invite them. You know, we invite in, say in reverent common sense, we invite in unbamboozleable creative suspicion and democratic well-wishing or whatever, you know. And we're going to, you know, honor that. Come on in. But we also, you know, to go back to the, well, I can track the chart just for the fun of it. You know, Venus and the Moon right now are in what's called mutual reception, which is a lot to do about manners. Venus is in Cancer, the Moon's realm, and the Moon is in Libra, Venus's realm. It's a lovely event, and it's a lovely phrase in mutual reception. You know, we go, ah, may we all be in mutual reception. It means that each of these players, each of these parts of collective intelligence is in the other's realm. So, you know, there's manners going, oh, yeah. Hmm. I like, you know, working with squares, 90-degree angles, or, you know, for those who know astrology and for those who, you know, adamantly don't, wherever there's a kerfuffle, you know, let's take it as a false estrangement brokered by the reality police to render people obedient to empire and planetary extinction. You know, why not? And so to get things to dance together, you know, the art form is inviting in poetry, beauty, art as food, poetry, beauty, art as poetry, beauty, art as, again, nutrients, as a way to go, the whole realm of culture. There's elections. We know the word inauguration is a magical word from augury, the diviner. We know the word idiot comes from Greek, idiotus, which meant someone who was so willfully stupid as to choose to not participate in the collective politics. Now, Oh, there's a lot of, okay, easy, everybody. We want to, you know, play with these things. And So the grand square, Venus in Cancer, the deep delving into the historic past and our own family past for things of beauty that we love, to give them fresh, creative, artful expression, to have beauty be potent, to have it be a way also in which we metabolize poison. That would be one of many ways of understanding this grand square that is, you know, available and before us. So then we have Moon in Libra, you know, Venus's sign, well, Saturn and Mars also in Libra. Saturn exalted in Libra, Mars said to be in Venus's sign, the old sort of fogey language of astrology, which has some technical merit but would call Mars in its detriment. I view that in a way as slightly colonial, you know, coming from whatever it is, because Mars in the realm of Venus is an important truth. Let Mars, guriness, desire, remember the word desire comes from De Sidereri, which means from of the stars, we call desire, let desire and general woofiness lead us to kinship and art and beauty. You know, let us be agents of sucking the chi out of volatility. So, for instance, if we're all part of each other in the collective dream, if we were the crisp part of ourselves in, you know, may we back here now and through this coming week, you know, bless each other that wherever we go, we are agents of things cooling out. And again, you know, and keeping with the I Ching, it doesn't mean being nice, it doesn't mean being wishy-washy, it does mean dropping hostility for artful dynamic. So part of that, you know, we say Mars is many things, you know, it is the fuel, it is desire, eros, it is our relationship to animals and instinct, it is the fuel we run on. And it is right next to Saturn, it's part of us declaring our boundaries and all. But it's again the fuel we run on, the artful way in which we express ourselves. So I wanted to just bring some things up. You know, it doesn't get my goat, but I know I want to critique certain phrases and throw them into the cauldron. Because I say metaphoric abuses. There's a phrase that often people use, as in that person really drank the Kool-Aid. I want to throw that right into Pluto's cauldron for a million reasons. One is like, oh, I didn't drink the Kool-Aid, yeah, which implies, but you or others did. First, it comes from Jonestown, and it wasn't Kool-Aid. It wasn't Kool-Aid that they drank. It was some other horrible thing, but it wasn't Kool-Aid. I've talked to people from Jonestown who survived. They hate people using that phrase, so there's that thing, you know, ally etiquette. But also, it is, you know, well, let me bring in the other phrase that I'm eager to compost, and you can all think of things, of phrases that we might want to compost and liberate the energy into fresh expression, so that our metaphors really match our democratic ideals and intentions and all of that. The other phrase that I'm very eager and encouraging to throw in the cauldron is when people say, oh, you bought into that. It's very similar to drinking the Kool-Aid. You bought into that thing. Now, the reason I want to critique it, and we are slowly in the middle of this week heading into the Sun in Virgo, which will be very exciting on Wednesday the 22nd. Sun enters Virgo, 1:07 p.m. East Coast time, which is just okay. We take all this creativity and we're going to refine it. So we're ahead of schedule. We want to refine it, the power of language and words. This is going to be really important as we head into personal conversations and collective conversations in, again, this crazy, wild field out there. But the reason I pluck these, and do feel free, you know, if you have any nominations for phrases you'd like to compost, or remember, we are tossing things into the cauldron, Pluto. We are ladling spirals of liberation. Coyote is ladling spirals of liberation out of the cauldron. That's the Uranus Aries part. So we toss these in, and we get to, you know, so anything you want to toss in, that would be fun to chime in, to email anything. I will leave room after one paragraph here. The reason I'm eager is drank the Kool-Aid, bought into as metaphoric abuses, because they are the fuel of kind of condescension and snark. And we say to ourselves, you know, we are all befoibled, you know, and we are, by the power of this gathering and this moment, also willing to say, oh, great spirit of woof, you know, or however you choose to address big mystery, you know, I'm willing to jump into the cauldron with everything else, and if there's anything condescending or snarky, you know, or whatever, you know, let's go. And just as a trickster redeemer, you know, strategy, again, all of these meant to prime your own unique creativity. But, you know, there are times, sometimes, when I, you know, attract and am complicitous in attracting flack. And people come up and go, rah, 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 rah. And one of the things that has, you know, not always, but on occasion, I go, you know, people go, rah, 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 or whatever. And I go, well, all right, let's join hands. And let's jump into the cauldron together with the pre-dedication. If there's anything in either one of us that is not dedicated to greater good and that is, you know, harumphingly in the way, you know, oh, cook us, oh, great spirit. Now, one person who came up all angry, and I said, let's do that thing, actually kind of backed away like, oh. And another person said, really? Well, that's really cool. Let's do that. And they were completely hot and angry. You know, and I was like, oh, well, let's do this thing. You know, let's let something larger, you know, cook us. What the hell? You know, it's fine to jump into the cauldron, you know, anything worthy. And we want to throw words and phrases and spiritual disciplines and the word shaman in, you know, just for a replenishing liberation, because, you know, language is tired when it's overused or abused. You know, I confess, you know, I get sent a lot of books, people who want to be on the radio show and everything like that. Almost anything with the word spiritual in the title, I mean, oh, you know, just because it's eaten up. Now, I overcome my own preemptive snark and go, there, okay, I can't stand the word, I noticed that, but I'll usher the book back into the pile of 50 books with the word, the spiritual huzza, 10 paths to the, anyway, it's like, okay, all right, they could be good, you never know. All right, the reason, you know, the fuel we run on, you know, condescension and snark, we say are crude gummy fuels, you know, as in oil, you know, on which to run, you know, and they are intrinsically kind of elite. We know better than you, you know. We are smart, but most people bought into this thing, you know. And I know it is true on one level that many people, many of us, you know, all of us, you know, we might say, oh, these people are so stupid. Oh, my God, the American people are so stupid. We go, yeah, okay, fair enough, but we're heading into words are magic, you know, which is why, you know, I want to dust off just some of the things we've been playing with for a while, you know, in which we go, until now, you know, just until now, just invite in the trickster change rather than sentence people, you know, because whatever we say repetitively is, you know, magic. Oh, they're so stupid. Oh, they're so stupid. And we go, until now, or it used to be, it has often been the case that, you know, we want to leave room for this against all odds trickster thing, because that is part of our gathering deal. And so the idea about, you know, condescension and snark as gummy fuels, which also when we get into a kerfuffle, we go, oops, not perfect. And we say, no shame, no blame, as long as we're working it. And, you know, part of the deal now, Miss Spider, this spider growing things, is, somebody asked, very important, what is the origin and story of the word hooligan? I don't know, but I love hooligan. I'm not throwing hooligan into the, we love hooligans. Because, see, part of the double thing is that the you know, Pussy Riot was convicted of the crime of hooliganism. And I do often use that word. It's clearly kind of Irish, and I will look it up. But you know, when somebody goes, "Oh, you're such a hooligan," we go, "We love hooligans." It's like when I was taking on some developer who was cutting down everything in the world, and he said, "Your problem is you live in a dream world." And I go, "No, that's my blessing." You know. Anyway, so we go, hooligan, we like Robin Hood.
And I like something.
Oh, yes. Please.
Carolyn?
Sure.
Can I throw in the phrase, no problem?
Oh.
That just drives me up the wall.
No problem, man. Okay,
nope.
Why does it drive you up the wall? Which wall?
The communication says there was a problem. It implies there was a problem. When there was no problem, just to say, you know, how about a cup of coffee or hello, how are you? No problem. The implication there was one there and there never was one to begin with. It sets up a negative surround, if you will, to whatever is being discussed or said or heard.
Uh-huh.
No problem. There isn't any problem. There wasn't one to begin with. Why do you bring it up?
That's very cute. I hadn't thought of that because I think of it as such a kind of jolly Jamaican thing. But maybe, I think when in doubt, let's throw it into the cauldron. Because it'll be fine if it bubbles back. But
well, it's kind of
yeah.
a shock when that is what the response that comes back to me when I say something or share something and they imply that there was a problem there somewhere. It's totally confusing and it's such a habitual. Mindless reaction. They generally don't even know they said it.
Right. Now, it's interesting, Sibi, because it comes from, I'm pretty sure, Jamaica.
Uh-huh.
And it's probably, you're right to track this down, because it's probably coming from oppressive slave
mm-hmm.
cool out, presuming that there is a problem. Hey, man. Yeah, but you're right. It does presume there was a problem. Hey, man,
yeah.
No problem. Put your gun down. Hey, man, no problem. You know, put that machete down. Hey, man.
I'm not holding a gun. I'm not holding a machete. Why do you even suggest it, you know?
Right. No, that's good. That's good. I think that's quite astute and interesting. See, what they say instead of no problem, like in South Africa, they say pleasure.
And there you go.
Okay, so we might throw
well,
no
positive.
Problem into the cauldron and ladle out pleasure.
Yes.
Sometimes it's my pleasure.
Be a pleasure or no, yeah.
Would you like a cup of coffee, pleasure, or it's usually used, thank you very much, and rather than somebody saying no problem, they would
negative.
Say pleasure.
Utterly negative.
Okay.
Both and problem are such a negative communication.
Okay, I'm delighted to consider such a thing,
thank you.
And I'm happy to throw it. We might all be happy to throw it into the cauldron and ladle out, pleasure, which is okay. We're throwing in. Mars or Saturn obstruction or a reference to a possibly not existing troubled thing.
Yes.
And we're ladling out pleasure, which is definitely a Venus thing.
Beautiful.
Pleasure. Lovely. Thank you.
Beautiful.
Yay.
Thank you.
So I would, thank you so much. My pleasure.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah. So
yeah.
My pleasure. Thank you, Coyote Woman.
Thank you, Carolyn. Pleasure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Excellent.
Mickey, signing off.
Yes, Mickey. Thank you, Coyote Mickey.
Okay.
That's great. Anybody else have a something they'd like to kind of throw in for the sake of, just, again, when in doubt, play. We want to have a spirit of play here. We'll pause for a moment. You can always hit *7. Guests are welcome. Renewing people are welcome. Old-timers are welcome. Anything that you want to throw in. Because we are agents of the renewal of language and liberating metaphor, and so that was a good thing. I hadn't really considered, no problem, but that's really good. Thank you. Pleasure, Mickey, pleasure. So that's good. Again, it's the quality of play. We go, all right, okay. I'm throwing drink the Kool-Aid into the cauldron, blah, 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 and bought into, because it is such a pulling of rank. And again, see, trickster, model, I like to say, oop, flag on that play. inappropriate pulling of rank, you know, into a non-democratic discourse of hierarchy, 5-yard penalty declined. It's the only time I really enjoy using a sports metaphor because it disrupts the thing in a playful way, which is part of what we're, or again, remember, we all get to carry around not only our portable harumphitude composters, which are always useful. I mean, I'm using mine. I'm eager for. Oh, good. Arf, arf. Excellent. And we don't know what the dog had in mind. But whatever you have in mind, doggy, you're welcome at this council. And whatever you want thrown into the cauldron, arf, 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 we're happy to do that. Yay, dogs. And yes.
Hello. Hi, this is Delia.
Yay.
And something I would really like to see go into the cauldron is a fear of transparency or a reluctance to show yourself, especially in regards to political conversation.
Okay.
And what I'd like to see come out of it is individuals willing to engage playfully around the theater of politics.
Right.
Because really, so much of what we see in the media is just this whole passion play that's laid out for us, and people take it so seriously. Of course, it has serious ramifications, but can't we play with it?
Yeah, well, the more serious, the more we want play. And see, the from my own familiarity with some of the news guys is that, and knowing a lot of people in politics, is that the dedicated guys, you know, the news guys, the Chuck Todds, the commentators, they view it all as sports. It's a sports game, and it's very much, or a horse race, who's going to win, or a sports game, you know, trading cards and statistics and all. But it's not really the conversation, as you're suggesting, about, you know, the common story that we all want, and certainly the excluded from so far public discourse about the most central thing, the most central, crucial thing, which is how are we humans going to become polite and cooperate with nature to avert, you know, the incredible unfolding death and carnage all around us. That is the central thing that has not been even mentioned, you know, really at all, because it's considered, So, so we're throwing into the cauldron reluctance to show or reluctance to engage. Sure. Okay.
Yeah.
We're throwing in that. And we're ladling out, people's willingness to, yeah, because so very often people go, oh, let's not go there. Let's not talk about that thing. Well, because so often it goes into pre-existing, you know. But again, I just want to bring forth, if we use surprising language, see, if we use repetitive language, there's already a polarity and the conversation is often tar-babyish and annoying. And I do, you know, just the things I have said, maybe too much before, but let me just pull them out again as principles. At CPAC, at the, you know, Conservative Political Action Committee, okay. But where I had to compost harumphitude a lot, you know, and there was much poison. But when people asked me, who are you? Why are you here? I got to say, you know, I got to hone Saturn, my little sort of visa. You know, I said, I am Coyote Network News, the mythological news service for the trickster redeemer within us all. And these right-wing libertarian German guys were like, oh, that is so cool. You know? So again, see, if we have a surprising thing, if I'd said I'm a left-wing environmental activist who's angry, whatever it is, you know, they'd heard it already. There was already like, oh, you know. But so I'd like to invite us all as part of the experiment and getting ready for the kind of language part of our language semester is about to unfold before us, you know, heading into this, you know, time, which reminds us Virgo is, you know, the sun changes and says, oh, now we begin to cultivate different qualities. Virgo is high standards, critical, ruler of ritual magic, micro to macro, power of language, and we love that. And So we're heading into a time where language specificity would be really good, and keeping with us all these cumulative things, wide perspective, fresh language about everything that's surprising. If people are surprised, they're not harumphy right away. They're like, oh, it disrupts the circuits and allows for change of mind, metanoia. And we're also putting our standards, our kind of Mars, Saturn standards of discourse, that it be spicy, but remembering, that magic, by our definition here, is simply a willingness to cooperate with everything. Certainly to encourage, a unifying, guiding story that unites, all sane, reverent beings in collaborative cahoots, with nature, with the rest of our kin. And Laura says she wants to throw into the cauldron something being in the DNA. Goodness, we have interesting, surprising things here. Okay, implies that whatever is referred to is more set in a structure we have inherited and less open to creative change. Okay, all right. I want to do a small plea too. I like talking about something, guiding stories that are in our mythological DNA, meaning transmissions of wisdom. So I just want to make a little, I'm keeping, mythological DNA. But yes, anything that refers to that which is more set in structure that we've inherited and therefore less open to creative change, sure. into the cauldron that is our email from Agent Ally Laura in L.A. Excellent.
Can I say something, Caroline?
Yes, and who's this?
This is Marianne.
Yes.
I, the reason why I said the workings of your mind are mystique and mysterious and all that kind of stuff, and everybody else too included, was because of the fact that we're dealing with so many wide ranges of things, and to be able to kind of focus our attention on the really important things, such as what your friend who was just speaking about, what's going on in the political arena, where the real issues are not being addressed at all
until now. I mean, we just want to, without being imprisoning Pollyannas, but we just go, it is true that has been the case.
Because I was just talking to a friend of mine in North Carolina this morning, and he was saying the same thing.
That there is a paucity of discourse.
Yes.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
it's not the first conversation I've had in the last week about it, but in particular today. And well, you're talking about it too, and it's really an important thing that we keep, the range of views open. And that's what I think why your mind is not fathomable to me, is that you keep that range open at all times.
Well, that is very adorable and kind of you. I of course was thinking it was a little bit of an incoherent missive that I sent out, but so you actually didn't even mean it critically.
Yeah. Because look at the spider web. I mean, that just blew my mind. I go, yeah. Now that's a heartfelt spider.
We have to put that up on our beautiful website or our beautiful Facebook page for Tricksters too. Yes, Marianne found a spider web that is fabulously in the shape of a heart.
Heart.
It's like Charlotte's Web everywhere. Oh, good. Thank you, Donna. Hooligan, origin late 19th century, perhaps from Hooligan, the surname of a fictional rowdy Irish family in a musical hall. Song of the 1890s, also of a character in a cartoon. I thought so. I mean, I knew it was Irish, but we go, yes, a rowdy Irish family, Hooligans. I mean, I think of it, it was translated, of course, from Russian, but so who knows what, word they might have used, but they were convicted of hooliganism, and it's like, yes, may we all be fictional rowdy Irish families in a music hall. We heart hooliganism. Thank you. It's part of the Aikido of like sort of stepping into it. It's like, you know, when people say, you know, who do you think you are? You go, fantastic question, a terrible tone, but it's a great question. You know, who do I think I am? You know, or somebody says, you know, a self-described so-and-so, and it's like, well, yes, you self-described journalist, and you say, aren't we not all? But yes, I think stepping in going, yes, hooligan, good. Thank you, Agent Donna Rael, for our etymological, your etymological task, really good. So, yes, so in our weaving of standards that we want to going, may it be informed, you know, and as Marianne just brought up, which I think is crucial, which is yes, the absence until now, you know, because that's our magical, you know, invoking. Come on in, Venus. Okay, come on in into this country and everybody's discourse. You know, the crisis and the solution. Oh, because what I started to say several miles back, Virgo, remember, critique and the originating impulse, criticism as diagnosis, as healing, not just grumpiness. You know, and so what I was trying to also, we'll see, and I want you all to, I want to see you all kind of backing me up too on the National Pacifica radio coverage of the conventions in which I will be one of the panelists, but I was going to be handling the call-in part, but maybe that might not happen. But I wanted to craft it so that it's not the predictable people calling up and, you know, engaging in tantrum yoga about, oh, this is so terrible and it's all a con and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, yes, we know all that. You know, but what's your blessing? What's your, you know, what's the desirable? How do we elevate the discourse? How do we become agents of addressing what we mind? You know, and that's the real deal here, you know, because we're not idiots. You know, we're engaged in whatever form. There's no, you know, there's nothing mandatory. You know, there's no rules. There's guidelines of however we choose to contribute our blessing to the world and to be agents of blessing in whatever circumstance we find ourselves in. That, you know, passing a car accident or a kerfuffle at the office or the whatever the thing is going, you know, I wonder why I'm here and what can I call in? Here's the Venus part. How can I call in beauty, poetry, grace? How can I, Saturn, Mars, the art form of directing attention, our own, a group's, the collectivity? And see, again, a spicy, you know, trickster thing is, let's have everybody define their terms and give more tangible examples. So, see, I find the use of the word, even feminism and even racism, meaning it's a word that sometimes does not serve its intent. Rather than an example, see, if one says, you know, why were all the names of appropriately of those who died on 9/11, you know, and the biographies posted in the New York Times, but none of the Afghan people. Why was that? You know, we go, that's racism. You know, there you have the thing. And then also when dealing with contrary people or even the parts of ourselves, we might in our own inner kerfuffle or, you know, friends, but also certainly especially where there's polarity. You know, what I also I've often found when dealing with very, very other, is rather than accepting, you know, pre-existing language, I'm a Republican, I'm a conservative, and I ask people going, oh, you know, would you define conservative for me, you know, and not in a harumphy way. I go, what's your definition of a conservative? And people are often like, oh, you know, and then it pulls everybody into a kind of reflective lucidity, like, what's my definition? It's also part of our skill set, you know, for self and for others, because people rarely take offense and are plummeted into a prison of reaction by being asked a question if it is asked in a non-snarky, you know, way. If it's not running on crude, you know, gummy fuel, but like, what is your definition of a conservative? You know, I'd really like to know. Because then what happens is it takes that Mars, okay, and turns it into Saturn definition. It gives it a job, you know, define this thing, lends to clarification in the world, going, oh, what is that? You know, and then conversation here comes the Gemini part, Jupiter and Gemini, can then take place. So I've been really intrigued by asking, you know, going, well, what's your definition of being a Tea Party person? Now, sometimes you just go, you know, thank you. Excuse me, I see somebody I must talk to on the other side of the world. Here's another crucial dynamic that, I can only think of the best example, but there are many, and I want us to be able to file scouting reports so that we kind of gather some hum, you know, which is part of our working guideline is to aspire to always leave room for other people to behave in unexpectedly appropriate ways. Just to leave room, you know, you never corner a mugger. You leave somebody way out. Now, part of that skill set is a question, like, what's your definition of this? People go, oh, well, you know, what's your definition of the Republican Party? You know, or what's your definition of the Democratic Party? Or, I mean, it's work. It bestows work on someone, you know, but it's relevant work. You know, I'm a third party supporter. I go, oh, that's great. What's your definition of that? Anything. And I think that ties in with Delia's, you know, may we put compost the reluctance, you know, to engage or the reluctance to show self. Well, see, all of these big transits, Pluto, Uranus, Neptune, that we will continue to dance with in perpetuity, but they are about burning through conditioning. I mean, we're in a huge time, as the I Ching was kind of referring to, of burning through conditioning. Like, let's get back to basics and burning through conditioned reality so that the protoplasm of reality is particularly susceptible to imaginative imprint, you know, is willing to come up with a guiding story and always looking for the strategic point of harmonious accord. You know, like I was reading this, some crazy ass, bless his heart, Republican congressman from Maryland forever, and it was a complete survival guy, you know, going, oh, the cities are all going to collapse and we must have our autonomous, he has his cabin in the woods with, you know, food and, you know, wind power and renewables, and we go, there's an opening there to talk to this guy. There's an opening there to talk to, you know, even starting right now as part of our kind of home play assignment, is what would we whisper to the collective spirit of this country? You know, and how would we engage in a common story going, yes, the ornery, disobedient, previously angry, going, yes, you know, creatively suspicious. It's like, yes, yes, wouldn't it be great to have everybody have their own autonomous power, you know, their own solar system, nobody dependent on the collective power system? Wouldn't that be great? See, this, you know, you crazy right-wing survivalist nut and you know, renewable energy California hippie good person, whatever, we can get together on this thing. And that is part of our dedication, I think, you know, to again, you know, that we be agents of play and leaving room. Okay, so before we deconvene, if anybody wants to bring up things they'd like to throw into the cauldron, that is good. We can't get away from the cauldron thing, but it is ladling out the desirable, so we want to keep that thing going. Yeah, and, you know, *7 or email if you think of things you might want to toss in and things you might want to ladle out, all fine. But then just to return to some justification of the spider metaphor, all facts really, really useful. So I found it witty that I got bit on my sacrum by a spider, and we go, may it be just the right amount of poison, you know, that apparently I needed, and all spiders are poisonous, I learned, you know. And I do love the, you know, the tensile strength, you know, there's, if you Google it, I mean, you'll find the thing, but they said, you know, if you made, you know, if you took spider web material, you know, which is one-tenth the diameter of a human hair, and you made something an inch thick of spider web material, it would stop a jet in flight. We go, oh, fabulous. So this gossamer, beautiful, strong, tensile quality, we go, right, that's the kind of web that we're weaving, you know, our dedicated web to contain. That's kind of the agent of the theater. And then I loved all the little things, the little spider facts, the recycling of their web to save time and strength. They eat the silk full of protein and leave only one main thread to start a new web the next day. So I can see us doing that, going, all right, we at the end of the day, you know, before we go to sleep, we inhale our web, nom, 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 and are nourished by it, you know. And then I love the term spiderlings, you know, which is a term for baby spiders, spiderlings. And I like thinking of, you know, we have our little spiderling stories, and the story's got legs. And then I just want to add this to our metaphoric agility, that spiders travel one of the ways they travel, by ballooning. You know, they release a long thread from their abdomen to catch the wind, wafting. And I do want to add this to our metaphoric skill set, you know, so many ways to travel. And you go, excuse me, catch you later. Whoa, gotta catch a breeze, you know. So it's great. And then I did say, you know, there's this beauty of, it's just set in the East Coast, but West Coast people can see the old moon in the new moon's arms right next to Saturn and Mars right after sunset at dusk. And what a beautiful world we live in. So anybody want to chime in again with something they'd like to compost or a spider thought? Either way. Okay, wait a minute. Okay, I think that what we can play, and we now have the wonderful word hooligan. Let me see about our trickster page here. or to come up with a blessing, also wonderful. I will conjure one. You know, may it be useful for all of us, and unmute the whole team just for the fun of it, so that we can all chime in at least on this, you know, composting sound or cauldron sound, and then ladling out things. So let me just do that for the fun of it. Okay, all guests have their voice now, and so we say, all right, let's take all language which is tired or confrontational or not really serving our interests and throw it into the cauldron. Okay, now we have cauldron sounds. That's pretty good. Okay, that's good. And now we ladle out, you know, again, beautiful spirals, you know, and let's say on our ladle are these wonderful spiders, you know, each one of us, kind of like Charlotte's Web, and from the ladle we all extend from, we raise up our chest and a little thread comes out and wafts and we catch the wind and we go, okay, team, may everybody be wafted to a place where they can do the most good and have the most serious, dedicated fun. Okay, wafting out, and we can just go, wafting, wafting. Yes, whatever wafting sound you want to make. Oh, they're very good. What? Yeah, all string. Okay, thank you, team. Yay. All right.
Good night.
Good night.
Bye.
Good night, sweetie.
Okay.